Thank you so much, so much. God is good. We love coming here. So we just keep worshiping all morning, and the faith and just the joy in the atmosphere. And I am just going to add a bit of spice to what's happening, because it's bang on in the flow, and even the songs that we've worshipped with this morning are really the sermon. And so I just want to add a bit of spice in, like when you're cooking a really nice meal. Just add a little bit in here just to confirm, really, and affirm, which I hope encourages you guys today. And so it's going to be really good. I always want to thank the team. You guys are amazing, honestly. Every time I come back, you're still here. And you're still going. And you are just fantastic. And, you know, different faces that year in, year out we see. Used to come down and privileged to teach in the Bible college and stuff like that. And just you guys, absolutely incredible, the faith in this place. It really is. And so love you guys loads. And we always are so grateful to Pastor Judith as well and her friendship. And, of course, Andrea and everybody else. But where she has stood with us, and you have a church has stood with us, and sometimes been the only people still standing with us, to have people believe in God in your life is an awesome thing. And it's not something to be messed with. And the depths of that gratefulness and thankfulness from us is, well, I don't know how to express it. I don't have to, but thank you anyway. Cool. Amazing. Let's honour your pastor this morning, Judith. Amen, Pastor Judith. And that's cool. Come on. And Andrea, of course. Just she's got a Mickey Mouse. Hallelujah. And amen. Come on. And I love your Nord piano. We've been praying for one of those. So if it's not there next week, you'll know it's why. I'm just taking my tag watch off so I don't go over time. And I hope you like the new outfit. I did have an orange hanky, but I didn't want to look thing. So we're going to go. And while we're worshiping, I just want to really thank God about, this will make sense in the sermon as well, but while we're worshiping, there was years and years ago when we were at a faith camp, and it was one of the most powerful years that when we were in the sheep shed still. And Debbie here was leading the worship, and we were singing the song, It's the Blood of the Lamb. It's the Blood of the Lamb. Do you remember? Anyone else remember that night? And Debbie actually choked when she was singing it, but that night left a mark on my life forever. And it's amazing that whatever else happens in your life, when the Lord's the foundation, you'll always fall back on Him. Everything else will change, but that doesn't. And the worship that night left a mark. It was just something remarkable, just the Spirit back in there. And Debbie, I just got a word for you. When we were worshipping this morning, I just had like a picture of the enemy's foot over the years trying to just like wipe you out, and God's just saying, he lost. He didn't win. He didn't win. And I'm saying there's a resilience in the worship, in the spiritual realm this morning, that you guys carry here. And it's not looking at people, it's looking at what the Lord's doing in people. And there's a resilience in the heavenly realm here. Never trade that, guys. I know you won't, by just adding spice to what you already know. Don't trade that. And I've always been a worshiper myself, and I've always appreciated back from the Kingdom Faith days when we were just, I didn't know Debbie at the time, first time I met her, she was serving food behind a hatch. I think I was teaching or doing something crazy at KF. Pastor Colin only employed me because he said, you'll give the students light relief. It's never because I was a good teacher. It was just to tell them jokes, really, because everything else was so heavy. And that worship there, because I'm a worshipper, you know, in the sense of go in that. It just carried something in the anointing, and that's why the enemy will do everything he can to wipe worshippers out. Because in the place of worship, there's just something amazing. And it was that picture, Debbie, just like him wiping, and God standing here after all these years of knowing you all these years. I was just so grateful to God that you're strong. I just am, mate. I'm so grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God. And we exalt God, but we exalt the resilience in people to stand up again when you've been at the heights and you've been wiped out for some reason. It can be hurt, pain, it can be anything. The enemy will use anything. But when you can rise again, it shows the true root of where you started. And that's the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. I'm going to get on with this. And that's my Silhouette glasses case. And these are my Hugo Boss glasses. Not that I'm into names or anything. I'm sure Jesus would wear Gant if he came back now. He ain't going to be kind of peacocks, is he? Amen. He doesn't like that. I'm sure you wouldn't see him in the charity shop. Right. Now, can you turn to Psalm 77? It's remarkable, one of the songs that we sang today, and the line in it, "I will look back and see that you are faithful." And that's the sermon really today. And in Psalm 77, it says, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint." Isn't this an encouraging word this morning? Are you all feeling depressed yet? I've got some pills in my bag. We'll be handing those out at the end. But it does get better. But we all experience this, don't we? Really? "I thought about the former days and the years of long ago." I thought about the faith camps when there was a real move of the Spirit. I thought about those times, God, you turned up and spoke to me. I thought about what had been once. "I remembered the songs in the night, and my heart mused, and my spirit inquired, 'Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Am I doing something wrong? Why isn't the church growing? Why am I struggling in my finances? Why do I have this diagnosis of sickness?' Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." I will meditate. I will remember. I'll think about times in my life in the past when, as flat on the ground I may feel right now in this minute of my life, I'll remember what you've done. I will choose to remember. There's a resilience in the spirit in this place, and it comes out of choosing to remember what God has done over maybe things you're facing today. "Your ways, O God, are holy." And what God is so great as our God? "You are the God who performs miracles, who loves Nord pianos. You are an amazing God. Hallelujah. You display your power amongst the people. With your mighty arm, you provide for brilliant screens so we can enjoy our worship and read the words. You provide for us. You are good. As in days long ago, you haven't changed. The water saw you, O God. The water saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard, etc., etc. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And then I want to jump quickly into Psalm 78. "O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth." This is all in the songs today. Isn't this great? I love Holy Spirit coincidences. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things of old. I will share testimony. I will remind myself of how God good is, because it is that that will get me up off the pavement and lead me forth in resilience and victory. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he's done. And then in 7, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And this whole thing goes on. In 11, they forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. And then it goes on in 19, they spoke against God, saying, can he spread a table in the desert? And when he struck the rock, waters gushed out and streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us food? And what I want to talk to you about this morning is what it says in 21, I'm going to teach you how to wind God up a treat. If you want to wind God up a treat, do what it says in verse 21. When the Lord heard them, he was very angry. His fire broke out against Jacob and his wrath against Israel because they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. God was angry because after everything he'd done, over the years in his life, the times they'd prayed and he'd delivered them, the times they had a need and he met the need, the times when they were sick and he brought healing, when they faced this next need, they forgot who their God was and what he had done. And what God wants to add spice into this morning in our lives, it is normal for us to trust in God's deliverance. And if you want a title for the sermon, it's remember who he is and remember what he's done. It's as simple as that. That's all I want to say this morning. Remember who he is and remember what he's done. Remember who he is and remember what he's done. Because if we even begin to pray in so-called faith or believe God in the time of need, but we don't have a concept or vision as to how faithful that God is or how great that God is, why would we have faith that he would deliver us? So it's very, if we're coming questioning whether God will deliver us, if we come questioning whether God will be faithful, if we become questioning will we ever become a church of this, that or the other, if we're always questioning God's faithfulness, he will always be angry, but we don't see that because of the mercy of Jesus. We don't see that outworked, but our growth is slowed down and hindered because we are praying to a God with a concept and view of him that is not true. God is the faithful God, and how we see that faithfulness is we remember who he is and what he has done. And it says in 21 here, he was, when he heard them, they were saying, oh God, well, you could bring, we remember you brought water out of the rock, but can you still feed us? We know you did it before, but will you do it again? And God says, when you're facing difficulty or challenge or believing for the next thing, one of the biggest faith builders is to remember how he got you out of it last time and into the new thing last time. Remember every time when you have a need here as a church, or we have a need, just look around at what he has already done. When you have a need in your life, recall the fact of how faithful, if he brought you out of that one, he's going to bring you out of that one. Don't look at the mountain of need in front of you. Look at what he brought you out of last time, how he did it, and then the mountain, by the time you turn back round, has vanished, and it's extremely small, because your faith is so much, of course you'll do it. You did it that time, you're going to do it this time. Come on, guys. Now, God was cross because he says, you're doubting my faithfulness. Be like with my children. Then, Dad, will you really look after me? Well, now I'm trying to teach them to look after themselves. Like, at 19 and 21, I want them to look after me. But you know, when they're little, you know, they have to pay housekeeping now and things like that. And the shock on one of their faces at the concept of paying any bills is quite interesting. But they're great, and it's part of growing up. But I don't want my kids saying, Daddy, will you really feed me? Of course they will. The food's in the cupboard. Will you look after me? They don't even question it because they know that mum and dad do that. They're in a secure environment we're bringing them up in. It's not even a question, but God gets angry because he says, I've sent my son Jesus to die for you. I've given you eternal life. I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. I've answered every prayer you've ever prayed. I've done everything you've ever asked me. And now you're doubting me. What is your problem? And Jesus and God look at each other. The Bible says, perplexed. Why are they worrying? Why are they anxious? Why are they stressing? Well, we've had this diagnosis. What? What? I got you through the last one. I'll get you through this one. Now, this isn't a harsh thing because the Bible says we don't have a God that's unable to sympathize with our weakness but was tempted in every way. It's not a discompassionate God throwing another rule at you, don't doubt me. It's a brilliant, heartfelt, don't doubt me. I'm your heavenly Father. I'm your God. I will look back and see that you have been faithful. I will look back. I'm not going to look at my need or the mountain because that will discourage me. But there's one thing while I do glance at it that you say about my need, you'll supply all my need. I will build my faith by looking at what you've done, what you've brought me through, and who you are. You are the faithful God. You are the victorious God. You are the everlasting God. So by the time you hit your faith issue, it's nothing. Something. Can I turn this page over? Well, that's going to be a challenge. It's nothing. See how easy? Because I remember every time in my life I've gone to turn a page before, it wasn't a challenge and I got through it. And now I'm on chapter 7. Is this too simple? I don't even have to think about whether it's going to turn over. It will. Sickness diagnosis. Financial need. Depression. It's real. Depression is a work of the enemy. It's real. It's real. But Jesus. Because I don't want it to come across like these things aren't difficult. But you don't get through the difficulty by looking at the difficulty. You get through the difficulty by looking at who God is and what he's done. And when you're in the desert time of your life and everyone else around you seems to be flowing, but you're struggling, is then even more so you need to look at who God is and what he's done. Because he'll bring you through. He will bring you through. And he is always faithful. How he brings you through. It says in 78:40, it says, how often they rebelled against him in the desert and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. We have the power to vex God. He's surprised that we're not trusting him. Turn it the other way around this morning. Why don't you trust me? He was vexed. And it said in 42, they did not remember his power. They didn't remember his power the day he redeemed them from the oppressor. Well, if you're going into a faith issue and you're not remembering who God is and you're not remembering his power, then faith is going to be pretty difficult because you start from a place of unbelief. Because you're trusting a kind of God or your concept of God and you're having to fight to believe something that you should just be believing anyway. See, the issue is never the issue. It's the God who's the issue. It's the answer to your prayer, the power force of that who is God through the power of the Spirit. And we have free and confident access through the blood of Jesus to access that power and operate in that power. I tell you guys, this has lifted so much stress off my own life. Will God ever do this? Will God ever do that? Of course he will. It's who he is. It's who he is. It's quite simple. I'm struggling to... Look, I've got another psalm here. I'm going to give you a little bit of Romans first. God wants to do something this morning in our hearts and lives that makes faith a lot easier. Because we remember who he is and what he's done. Sometimes the mountain blinds us because it's so big, or it's so oppressive, or it's been there so long. And you can't tackle it because you've lost hope and you're discouraged and it's still standing there. God says, look away from the mountain and look to who I am. Because when you're strong in who I am, you remember who I am and what I've done, you can speak to that mountain and it's no longer a challenge. It has to move. Oh, it may take encouragement from others in the church, may take a little bit of time sometimes. We hold in there in faith, we do all of that, but we're not struggling in faith, we're holding in there in faith. There's a difference. There's a difference because one is birthed in a correct perception of God's faithfulness, the other is birthed in unbelief and fear. And I say, is that encouraging so far? Because I want you to be encouraged because you're great people, because Jesus thought you were worth dying for. And even when we're caught up in a big vision, we know we've got to sing loud and dance and do all those things. It's right, but it has to come out of our spirit. And the church is only as strong as the people manifesting the power of God within the body. And your prayers will become easier. Your faith will produce more because you're not focusing on the thing you're believing for. You're looking at the one for whom you're really believing, because you're really believing for God's plans and purposes. Well, if it's your purposes, I got cross with God a while ago, and I'm not supposed to, but I did. But I'm always honest with God. I say, I'm cross, God. I always try and keep the church really nice and tight and all the rest of it. We had all these new poles put up around the outside, these things to stop people whizzing on and off of the car park, posts. And someone knocked one down. I was so cross. I thought, whatever we do, if we put something new up, it gets knocked down. I said, God, if you don't care about the place, neither do I. And he says, well, I actually do care about the place. I just don't stress about the place like you do. He says, I care about it, but I care more about you than this place. And right now, you're a stress ball, and we need to do some work here. I remember a few weeks ago just giving the place back to God. I said, God, it's yours. The people aren't mine. If there's an issue, it's for the people to sort as well. Just giving it back to God. It's God's, it's not yours. Your life belongs to him. And he knows how to care for what belongs to him. He just does. Getting rid of... Sometimes we think we're worthy if we're stressing or anxious. We feel like we're achieving more. We feel like we're not caring if we're not anxious. God says, trust me, be anxious for nothing. It's a walk with him. It's not a fight with him. And when we're with him, we're in the victory. And he's faithful. Get to know him again as your father. Get to know him again as the faithful one. Look back to what he's done and remember. And that will often take you through into what you need to come into. There's a thing here. It's a thing here called a scripture. But it's in the Passion Translation. And I want to read this to you. Psalm 92. I think someone read Psalm 93 or something this morning. It's pretty close. 94, that was close, wasn't it? I love this Passion Translation. Don't bother following it in the NIV or anything. This is great. And this really is what you guys are doing anyway. It's so enjoyable to come before you with uncontainable praise spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praises over and over to you, to the matchless God, high and exalted over all. You are the matchless God. Remember who he is and what he's done. You are the matchless God. Nothing compares with you. And there's that resilience in the spirit in this place. Like this morning, there's a resilience. He is the matchless God. He is a strong one. He is a powerful one. At each and every sunrise, we'll be thanking you for your kindness and your love. As the sun sets and all through the night, we will keep proclaiming, you are so faithful. Melodies of praise will fill the air as every musical instrument, Nord included, joined with every heart, overflows with worship. See, that's a biblical purchase. I've just confirmed it, add some spice. It was right to spend the money on that. No wonder I'm so glad I can't keep it in. No wonder I'm so glad I can't keep it in. Lord, I'm shouting with glee. That's not that band over all you've done. I'm not shouting with glee as in, is it reach for the skies? Oh, no, that was school. Anyway, excuse my viewing habits. But I can't keep it in. Sometimes I look at the enemy and I say, what are you going to do about that then? He can't be around joy and thankfulness, which is why he wants you staring at the mountain and forgetting what God's done. Because he wants you to forget how powerful your God is and how joyful you can be. What mighty miracles and your power at work, just to name a few, depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. Such amazing mysteries found within every miracle that nearly everyone seems to miss. Those with no discernment can never really discover the deep and glorious secrets hidden in your ways. That takes meditating on that. But what it's saying is that we so easily miss where the Spirit is at and moving when we're so consumed of forgetting who God is and what he's done. Because we're looking at the noise of the need. We're looking at the noise of the need. We need to look at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love this. Layers, layers. Those who, with no discernment, can never really discover the deep and glorious secrets hidden in your ways. It's true the wicked flourish, but only for a moment, foolishly forgetting their destiny with death. But they will all one day be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever in the highest place of endless glory. Our misery and our looking at the need will bring our focus away from his glory and his love and his power. And this morning, you know, there's just some of us, we just need to, I'm just trusting God with this, because in the sound of everything, everyone's doing brilliant and you're all like the angels up there and you're just such amazing in this place. But I reckon maybe at least one person, maybe two if we're lucky, so the ministry doesn't look like I'm a fraud. But you know, oh, that guy's not hearing God very well. There must be someone who's actually saying, come on, I'm focusing on the wrong thing. Anyone at all? No, that's fine. Well, thanks for having us. I'm out of here. Praise the Lord. But there is someone here that knows, oh, come on, God, let me get this back in perspective. If I talk enough and widen the ministry thing enough, it'll include everyone. There's someone here who got out of bed this morning. I want you to come forward. There's someone here who had breakfast. Yeah, the call's for you as well. I'll get someone forward somehow. There's a bunch of people here that think this is actually a load of, you know, I'm not too sure. Well, they'll come, but we'll get someone forward somehow. I'll pray for someone this morning. I'm telling you, you ain't going to leave the building until while all your opponents are workers of wickedness, they will all perish forever, separating from you. Your anointing has made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. When you translate that, it says, I will still have anointing in my old age. When you go back to the Hebrew and that, what that's saying is, in fact, in the NIV it says, I'll still stay green in old age. I thought, I don't want to be green, I want to be brown. I want to look healthy. I don't know why it says green. I think it means ripe or something, but I do not want to turn green in old age. I want to be brown in old age, like I've been on a Caribbean cruise somewhere. But the point is, it's not about the color of your skin, it's about the anointing of God on your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If I turn up here one day green, please remind me I'm supposed to be brown and looking healthy. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. Even when I'm old, I'll have enough anointing left. That means you've said that those lying in wait to pounce on me would be defeated. And now it's happened right in front of my eyes. I have heard their cries of surrender. Yes, look how you've made all your lovers to flourish like palm trees. Each one growing in victory, standing with strength. You've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard. People, whatever's happening in your life this morning, you've been taken out of the soil of desperation and need and sin and sickness, and he's transplanted you, or transplanted you, depending on where you come from, mate. But you've been transplanted into his heavenly courtyard, where they are thriving before you. They are thriving. You are planted in good soil. For in your presence they will still overflow and be anointed. Sorry, this is what I just alluded to. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh. In their old age, they will stay fresh because of the anointing oil, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Listen to them. With pleasure, they still proclaim, "You're so good. You're my beautiful strength." And this is the heart of what God's just wanted to encourage us with and add a bit of spice into this morning. It's like, remember who he is. Remember what he's done. Remember his faithfulness. Remember how he got you through it last time. If you remember those things, it will strengthen your faith to get you through next time. To stand strong again today. To turn up at church again today with your head held high. Still waiting on that miracle, but knowing you are flourishing in him. Now, what's hard sometimes is when we see someone else get their miracle and we haven't got ours yet. But the last line of this psalm in the Passion Translation says this, and I love this, because in our situation, you guys know sometimes we've been struggling with the church and churches struggle, and we've seen disappointment, we've seen all sorts of things. But this last line in this psalm says this, it's amazing. It says, "You've never made a mistake with me." Like God says, people, I am in control of your life. I really am. Remember how I saved you. Remember how I sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. Remember I gave you life and I put my spirit in you. Remember I did that. And Jesus says, when you feel like the biggest sin failure, he says, remember I poured out my blood for you. You remember how I got you through that and restored you last time? I'll get you through it and restore you this time. You qualify through my blood. Remember who I am. Remember what I have done, and you will stand strong. And I love this, because when I say, God, you know, have I done something wrong? As we saw, is it something I've done that the church isn't doing what I feel it should be doing? Is it something wrong with me? And he says, no, Dave, remember, I never make a mistake with you. It's not held up because of you. There are just things I'm building, things I'm doing. Things I'm doing in your life, but the core foundation I want you to operate in is to remember who I am. What's your concept of God? Is he cross with you? Is he watching over you to see when you'll fail and say, ah, that shows you, I knew you could never get it right and be quite as holy as the person next to you? What is your concept of God? Is it he's for you? He believes in his life in you. He believes in the anointing in you. Because it vexes him when we have the wrong concept of who he is. He is faithful. He is good. He is kind. He is wonderful. Just want to pray for some people this morning. I just want to ask Marion to come up real quick. Just to take 1 or 2 minutes just to share now. This is something we've been talking about and praying about. Come up, love. And Marion's a full-time school teacher, so she's surrounded with about 30 children all day, every day. So just want to share about praising and looking to God and doing this, how it's not just for ministers, but it works in everyday life as well.
Well, what I wanted to share with you was to really encourage you, those of you who are going to an office tomorrow, or like me, you've got 30 children screaming at you or whatever. But it's from the time when the sun starts to rise to when it goes down, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And if we do that, everything else takes its right place, because everything is fighting for our attention. In my case, it's a lot of Mrs. Shipham's in my ear and a list of things to do. But if that's the priority, keeping the name of the Lord and that being my praise and that being my focus, everything else is okay. And I know some things that are more serious that happen to us in our lives, and maybe tomorrow you'll have a big challenge. But that still doesn't matter. Like Dave was saying, you know, if we just remember Jesus and remember that he's greater, everything else will be okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're adding spice to what you guys already know. Today's just like a encouragement reminder. Remember how brilliant God is. You know, you guys are steaming ahead and are a mighty people. Do you know how to play that song, It's the Blood of the Lamb That Washes White as Snow? It's the blood. If not, I'll play it. Debbie, come up. Let's have the band up. Washes white as snow. It's easy. It's in G. Well, I'm going to teach it to you now, and then we're all going to do this, and we're going to pray for some people, or anything you choose. Which I just want to minister to people this morning. There's an anointing in the worship, and I'd love it if we can just pray for anyone. It's not because you're getting it wrong or weak, but you just want to come into a fresh place this morning. Remember who God is and what he's done. And something's just clicked this morning. Yeah. That's it. You've been looking at the need. You've been looking at the issue. And we're just going to pray a fresh grace on you to remember who God is and what he's done. That's all I've got to offer, guys. If it's for you, great. If you don't need that because you're that far ahead, and I'm really glad you're that far ahead. But if just whoever wants a little bit of encouragement with it, the fireman wants it, the police want it, the ambulance want it, then I'd love to pray for you and just impart a little bit of what God's been doing in Mary and myself. Just love to just pray and encourage you, because the stronger you are, the stronger the church is. Amen. Be facing that need, and it's not going to look so big anymore. It's going to come on, Lord. I need to come into that in my life. Some things that even seem spiritual, like me, well, looking after the church, everything's got to be fine, everything's got to be right. And God's saying, yeah, it has, but Dave, you're handling this wrong right now. I need something to happen. Let's have the band up here. And the Nord piano is about to be played. And just, guys, thank you so much, guys. I really value. You're not a spare part, any of you. You're amazing. You're not. You're the part, amen, in the heavenly realm. And the enemy's intimidated by what you guys are carrying here. And, praise the Lord.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.